Welcome to the final installment of New Books and Poetry's month-long celebration of the chapbook, Chapbookapalooza. I am your host, Jen Fitzgerald. It has been a real joy to read the short-form work of the talented poets writing today. Creating the lineup was difficult, but I believe we have brought our listeners a well-rounded survey celebrating the diversity of voice present in our literary community. As sorry as I am that Chapbookapalooza is ending, I couldn't think of a better poet to bring us home than Marissa Crawford. Marissa Crawford is the author of the poetry collection The Haunted House, Switchback 2010, and the chapbooks Eighth Grade Hippie Chic, Immaculate Disciples 2013, and Big Brown Bag, Gazing Green 2015. Her writing has appeared in Bitch, Hyperallergic, The Hairpin, and elsewhere. Marissa is founding editor of the feminist literary pop culture blog Weird Sister and lives in Brooklyn, New York. Welcome, Marissa.
Thanks so much for having me, Jen.
So to start us off, will you please read the poem beginning with Oops, I Tripped and Fell on page 8?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Oops, I tripped and fell out of the third story window of Urban Outfitters. At the time, I was wearing an Urban Renewal repurposed flannel, which was just a shirt that I actually owned in the 90s. The music that came on sounded like angels singing. I landed on the street across from the Goodies holiday display. I held up the shirt to my body in the mirror. I felt righteously disgusted and also disgusting. It's my lunch hour. I stopped breathing. The shirt was so soft, I started crying. The poster says war is over, but it isn't. I have a gift card. My dad bought me it for Christmas.
Thank you very much. I really, really enjoyed the poems in this collection. I found myself being able to reread them and re-enter them from so many different ways or directions. Can you talk a little bit about how this collection came into being?
Yeah, well, thank you so much. I'm glad you enjoyed them. So basically, I've been working as a corporate retail copywriter for various different like big corporate brands for about 8 years. And so, you know, I just work like a 9-to-5 job, and I wrote my book when I was in grad school. It was my MFA thesis. And I think that, you know, having like a full-time 9-to-5 job was a kind of new experience for me in the past, like 5 years or so, working full-time. And so I started writing poems just like on the subway, on my way to work, and on my lunch break, and while I was sitting at my desk at work, you know, like sending myself emails or writing in Google Docs or sending myself text messages. So there were a lot of poems that I was writing kind of in this different way than I usually wrote in the past. And I think that in part because of that, and because of what I started writing about more of kind of like everyday experiences of like having a job and being at work and, you know, taking the train to work and, kind of the clash of being someone who has, you know, specific like feminist politics and who has a job working for like a big, corporation. And so I just kind of started writing poems about these different ideas as they came to me in all these different kind of forums.
Mm. So let's hear another poem, and then I want to talk a little bit more about this inner monologue that seems to be going on in the pieces. It's really interesting. Could you read the piece that starts with I Thought of Something on page 11?
Sure. I thought of something, but now I forgot it. How my boss and my sister went to college together. How I Met Katie in the year 2000, and since then, we have both moved forward into straight but totally separate lines that revolve around the sun in orbit. I'm sitting at my desk, and I'm sitting in outer space. I had this idea, but then it floated into the ether. The only way I could get to work was to turn off my brain and be dumb, dumb, dumb. And then my brain got stuck there. I'm texting in the middle of the street. I'm so dumb. I'm slamming against the hoods of cars. I'm such a dummy. I used to start all my letters with, "I'm sorry." I'd seal them in pretty envelopes and draw giant S's on them. Sorry, 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 and bright and shining. I'm standing in the street and all the cars are coming. Oh, well, I tried. At least I tried. That's more than I can say about you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So what I had noticed about this inner monologue quality was that the inner monologue was even in conversation with itself. And I wanted to know if you could tell us a little bit about the speaker of these poems.
Yeah, that's a really interesting observation. I think there is definitely like an inner monologue happening. I think that the speaker of the poem is really, you know, someone who, as I was saying, like just kind of encapsulates that idea of being just a person that has a, you know, a 9-to-5 job and goes through the motions every day of going to work and being at work and maybe doing something that's not that meaningful and having that clash with, you know, their own, either their politics or just kind of, I think, the ideals of what they hope the world to be. I think the poems are, the speaker is kind of like just kind of accepting, like, some sad realities of everyday adult life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So for craft-wise and drafting, what is it like for you when you get this idea or something starts to ring true and you want to render it in verse? Do you just sit and allow it to go down the page? Are you the type of person that brings it through, you know, 27 drafts?
I'm definitely someone that does a lot of drafting. I think that in the past, like with other poems not in this collection that I've done in the past, I did a lot of like drafting and crafting and recrafting. And I think I definitely did that with these poems, but I did it a little less so. Like I feel like in the past it would be like something I wrote would turn into something totally different through the process of revising. And these poems, I don't feel like I really did that, but I often just would write like a line or two, and then later, you know, rework things, like write more or like incorporate different lines together, kind of like weaving different pieces together, that seem to have, different ideas or content in common to make them into kind of longer cohesive poems and reworking them in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One of the things that I noticed about your work is I guess the fallacy of easiness. When you read a poem and the poem feels really easy to you, as though it was, I guess, kind of born that way, it means that the poet busted her ass to get it to be that way. So for our final piece, could you please read the poem that starts with "Don't Go Into J. Crew" on page 20?
Yeah. Don't go in J. Crew. It's too depressing. Don't go into Goodies either. Look for the hot guys. Look for yourself in the hot guys. In the ice cream truck as it drives by. We used to call the ice cream truck Charlie because that was the ice cream man's name. And also what they called the enemy in Vietnam. When I choked on the cupcake, I whispered, "I'm dying." When the plane hit the tower, my dad knew without knowing. When a bomb explodes, it makes a sound. At Goody's, all the women say, keep me away from the cupcakes. Keep the cupcakes away from me. I was looking in all the windows. The mannequin looked like you. When you were sleeping, when you were leaving, it looked like me too.
Well, I think that, as a parting thought for me at least, that this chapbook was a very easy choice for me to make when I was looking through. You know, we got many submissions, which I'm very grateful for. This has been a really good month for Chapbookapalooza. And your voice in here was so unique. And there was so much cultural criticism wrapped up in an easy colloquial that I was just really impressed with from the onset.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I want to thank you for coming on and for sharing your work with us.
Of course, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This has been Jen Fitzgerald with New Books in Poetry, reminding you to support all the arts, but especially poetry.